Hernandez earned the deal after a two-month trial with the team, appearing in a preseason match against New Mexico United. He played soccer at the youth level before an injury at the age of 15 led him to acting. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include FJC, a foundation of donor-advised funds, working to maximize the impact of charitable giving and to create customized philanthropic solutions. Learn more at fjc.org.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR Kansas Public Radio. It is your place for NPR News.
Support for KPR comes from Kansas City PBS, offering fun educational programs like Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood, Weather Hunters, Carl the Collector, and Lila in the Loop, available on demand in the PBS Kids video app.
80 degrees on the KU campus in Lawrence. It is 6:06.
These are quite up to par with the U.S.
In addition, most poll respondents also thought the war in Iran was worse for the U.S. than for China. Jenny Meacham agrees. She's a Democrat from San Francisco.
I don't think China is losing anything. I think that this is not harming them in the slightest. China is just sitting back saying, let's watch the U.S. self-destruct.
When it comes to the war, the survey did find overwhelming consensus on one point. It's bad for the whole world. Frank Langford, NPR News, Washington.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City. We're always online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from KU Spencer Museum of Art, featuring ancient to contemporary art from around the world, open to the public Tuesday through Sunday and offering parking validation. Exhibition and event information at spencerart.ku.edu.
Thanks so much for making KPR a part of your day. Still to come in just about 11 minutes, an update of news headlines. At 6:36, we will learn more about a potential deal to sell soybeans to China. There's been a bit of a trade war specifically targeting soybeans, but other grain farmers are also suffering. So we'll learn more about that, and we'll get an update on the big congressional race for the district representing Omaha, Nebraska this year. Kind of a complicated story. Never fear, we're on it. You will get the details coming up right here on Kansas Public Radio.
KPR listeners are engaged in their communities and they frequent businesses that support public radio. Become a KPR sponsor and reach those most likely to take action at sponsorship.kansaspublicradio.org.
Lows around 50 degrees tonight. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the upper 70s. Slight chance of rain late tomorrow night. Lows in the lower 50s. Another slight chance of rain on Thursday with highs back up in the mid-80s. It's 84 degrees in Manhattan. It is 86 in Atchison, 81 in Chanute. The time is 6:20, and you're listening to Kansas Public Radio.
This is NPR.
President Trump arrives in Beijing on Wednesday, meeting with China's president about the trade war and more. I'm Steve Inskeep. We're hosting the program from Beijing this week. And here's a big question. Can a U.S. company replace the rare earth minerals that China cut off? Tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR1 and KPR2 stations. Morning Edition is the program. We'll get you caught up on the latest national, international, and regional news. Your local host will be Matthew Algio.
Support for KPR comes from BidPick and their Spring Thing fundraiser concert with Colorado's Jake Legg and Whiskey Mash Band, May 16th at venue 1235 in Lawrence. More information at bidpick.org.
News headlines are coming up next. It's 80 degrees in Lawrence, 83 in Abilene. The time is 6:30.
Inspections and certifications related to vessel systems.
The corporations could be on the hook for as much as $10 billion in fines.
You're listening to NPR News.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson. Kansas health officials say they are monitoring three Kansans who were exposed to hantavirus. As Beck Shackelford-Wongonga reports, the outbreak stems from a cruise ship on the Atlantic Ocean.
The Kansas Department of Health and Environment says three Kansans were in close, prolonged contact with someone who has a confirmed case of hantavirus from the cruise ship. KDHE says the three people weren't on the cruise ship themselves, and they're being monitored for symptoms. The type of hantavirus behind the outbreak is called Andes virus. According to federal health officials, it's carried by rodents and can cause flu-like symptoms. The virus can cause severe respiratory illness and can be deadly. KDHE says currently, the risk to the public remains low. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Beck Shackelford-Wongonga.
The former mayor of Coldwater, Kansas, Joe Ceballos, has been ordered to a federal immigration detention office in Wichita tomorrow morning. He pleaded guilty to three counts of voting as a non-citizen back in April. Ceballos called it an honest mistake. He's a permanent resident and has lived in the U.S. for decades, since he was 4 years old. His attorney for that case, Jess Hamey, says detainment for nonviolent misdemeanors is a travesty of justice.
Moving someone from their home that they've built for 45 years, it's going to be like dropping him off on another planet.
Immigration officials will ultimately decide whether Ceballos should be removed from the country. The weekend death of former Kansas State golf great Jim Colbert has drawn reactions from players at the PGA Championship this week. Greg Ecklin has more from Newtown Square, Pennsylvania.
Now is our time to take that up.
Ben Kern played college golf at Kansas State and has qualified for this year's PGA Championship as a club professional. Kern credits Colbert for the opportunities he's had in golf since finishing at K-State in 2014.
I mean, I lived with his grandson for 3 years in college. I was around Jim quite a bit. He was my sponsor right out of college. He allowed me to play professional golf.
Colbert was the NCAA tournament runner-up in 1964 and an eight-time tournament winner on the PGA Tour. Later, he got into golf course management and developed the Colbert Hills Golf Course in Manhattan. Colbert died at the age of 85 on Sunday. I'm Greg Eklund.
The forecast for northeast and east central Kansas, partly cloudy skies overnight, lows around 50 degrees. For tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the upper 70s. Mostly cloudy tomorrow night, a slight chance of showers and storms after midnight with a low in the lower 50s. For Thursday, partly sunny and warming back up, highs in the mid-80s. Thursday night, mostly cloudy in the evening with a low in the mid-60s. Not a very good chance of rain until Saturday night when we could see some storms. This is KPR.
From NPR.
Between AI and social media and misinformation, it's good to be skeptical of what you hear. On Morning Edition from NPR News, you get independent reporting.
And tell us what NPR has learned about these back-channel efforts from countries.
Driven by curiosity, not an agenda.
Oh, that part is news to me. What's going on here?
Get the facts every weekday.
Get the facts tomorrow morning with Morning Edition, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations. Matthew Algio will have your local news. From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio 91.5 in Lawrence, 96.1 in Lawrence. Lots of other frequencies, too. All listed for you online at our website, kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from Heartland Community Health Center, where doctors, dentists, therapists, and more work together to provide health care for the whole person, welcoming all who need care. More information at heartlandhealth.org.
Stay with us. We still have 11 minutes of All Things Considered yet to come. 7:01 on your KPR One stations. You are going to be hearing news headlines, followed by Stardate, followed by 2 hours of classical music from Classical 24. At 9 o'clock, it's Jazz in the Night. If you're joining us on KPR 2, up next at 7 o'clock is Reveal.
Support for KPR comes from Watkins Museum of History, celebrating America's 250th anniversary with various museums and historic sites. Information about Finding Freedom, the Promise of 1776 in Douglas County, Kansas, at watkinsmuseum.org.
Lows around 50 degrees tonight, highs in the upper 70s tomorrow. It's 80 degrees in Lawrence, and it's 10 minutes before 7.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from this station. And from Odoo, providing tools for businesses across industries into one fully integrated platform. Whatever a business needs, Odoo is committed to providing it. Learn more at odoo.com. From Procter & Gamble, maker of Rolaids, containing a dual-active formula with the goal of neutralizing acid in seconds for heartburn relief. Rolaids spells relief. Learn more at Rolaids.com. From the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, supporting creative people and effective institutions committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information is at macfound.org. And from the listeners who support this NPR station.
Can an American company replace the rare earth minerals that China held back from the United States? We report from Beijing on the next morning edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations, 5 to 9 a.m. Get caught up on all the news from overnight and more with Morning Edition. We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from KU School of Professional Studies, an economic engine for the region, providing career-specific degrees, professional development programs, and leadership workshops that strengthen communities. More at sps.ku.edu.
Up next, we have news headlines, followed by Stardate, then 2 hours of classical music, followed at 9 o'clock by Jazz in the Night.
Support for KPR comes from Peasley Tech in Lawrence, Kansas. The Peasley Promise offers debt-free career training for local high school students and low-income Douglas County residents. Details and donation information at peasleytech.org/peasleypromise.
Join us at 7 o'clock Friday night at Liberty Hall for our next Cinema A Go-Go. We will focus on Flash Gordon. We'll see Chapter 1 of the 1936 Flash Gordon serial, then the 1980 reboot film Music by Queen at 7 o'clock Friday night at Liberty Hall. Join us for Cinema A Go-Go.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. As President Trump heads to Beijing today to meet with Chinese leader Xi Jinping, a new NPR Chicago Council Ipsos poll finds most Americans think U.S. tariffs have been bad for both economies and driven up consumer costs here. NPR's Frank Langfitt reports.
Elisa Kajiwara is a physical therapist in Greater Chicago. When she bought a Chinese-made board game, she noticed tariffs added up to $20 to the price.
I think the tariffs are bad. Making a worse deal for a country's trade does not mean we'll get more stuff out of it.
David Morgan lives in North Carolina and supports tariffs. Low-wage competition from China sank his furniture company.
Business dried up. We didn't have the orders. We filed Chapter 11 and sold off a lot of our stuff.
The poll shows most Americans see a potential solution. Cut tariffs on China in exchange for China buying more U.S. agricultural goods. Frank Langfitt, NPR News, Washington.
The Missouri Supreme Court ruled that a map aimed at netting another seat for Republicans is in effect. As St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum reports, the decision is yet another blow for Democrats in a mid-decade redistricting scramble set off by President Trump.
Missouri lawmakers passed a map last year that seeks to convert Democratic Representative Emanuel Cleaver's Kansas City-based district into a GOP-leaning seat. But two voters sued, contending that the submission of referendum signatures prevented that map from going into effect. But the Missouri Supreme Court ruled unanimously that the new map is in effect until Missouri Secretary of State verifies it has enough signatures. That might not happen until a few days before the state's primary, and that may be too late into the election process to switch to a map that's more favorable to Cleaver. The court's decision comes as states like Louisiana, Alabama, and Tennessee are eliminating heavily Democratic majority-minority seats, thanks to the U.S. Supreme Court's decision weakening the Voting Rights Act. For NPR News, I'm Jason Rosenbaum in Jefferson City.
The clipping economy is booming. NPR's Bobby Allen reports on the video editors who turn long content into short videos to make money for clip for cash campaigns.
Behind the flurry of short video clips flooding Instagram, TikTok, and X are people who edit down hundreds of videos a day into viral snippets in response to bounties put up by companies and influencers, typically paying around 50 cents per thousand views. Several clippers told NPR they quit their day jobs to clip full time. An agency founder said clipping is the new TV commercial or billboard in the age of scrolling. Ad executive Lou Pascalis says this shadow economy is a race to the bottom.
The movie trailer gets a lot more views than a movie. So it's not a new phenomenon, but I think the reality is that in the, you know, attention deficit economy that we now live in, if you can't say it's shorter, people aren't going to see it.
A leading clipping agency executive said most clippers are between the ages of 16 and 24. Bobby Allen, NPR News.
This is NPR.
Stardate May 12th. Today, Saturn and its system of moons and rings look calm and peaceful, but things might have been much more chaotic in the fairly recent past. A collision between two moons might have destroyed one of them, changed the orbit of the other, and led to the birth of yet another moon and the planet's rings. Researchers have been trying to explain some oddities in the Saturn system. The planet itself is tilted far more than it should be, for example. The biggest moon, Titan, follows a more lopsided orbit than expected, and the moon is moving away from Saturn by about 4 inches per year. A few years ago, a team proposed that Saturn once had another big moon, which the team called Chrysalis. Interactions between the moons might have kicked Chrysalis so close to Saturn that it was ripped apart, forming the rings. But this year, another team came up with a slightly different scenario. It too involves a second moon. It collided with Titan a few hundred million years ago, changing Titan's orbit. Debris from the impact formed the present-day moon, Hyperion. The activity caused two other moons to ram together as well. Both moons quickly reformed, with the leftovers spreading out to form the rings as recently as 50 million years ago. This model explains many of the system's oddities, bringing order to a chaotic arrangement. Look for Saturn near our moon at dawn tomorrow. The planet looks like a bright star low above the horizon. You can find out more about the planets in Stardate magazine. Details at stardate.org. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Well, good evening. Tuesday night, classical music underway. I'm Steve Seal. We've got a large work by classical music's best-known chemist in just a few minutes. And Chopin here, played by Raphael Blechacz, the heroic Polonaise. Pianist Raphael Blechacz, the Polonaise number 6, known as the Heroic Polonaise by Chopin.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from the Kansas Music Hall of Fame, presenting their 2026 induction ceremony featuring performances by the Get Up Kids, Andy McKee, Brody Buster, and Main Street, May 30th at Liberty Hall. Tickets at ksmhof.org. This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on Kansas Trails Incorporated, partnering with local leaders and volunteers to expand outdoor opportunities, support local economies, and keep Kansas a place for being outdoors as part of everyday life. Details at kstrails.org.
Here's a look at the KPR weather forecast. It's 80 and cloudy. Wind is from the north at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the low 50s. Wind will be from the northwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then, tomorrow, clear with a high in the low 80s. Wind will be from the northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-50s. It's 80 and cloudy. Stay tuned for more KPR weather for Northeast Kansas.
Alexander Borodin was a chemist by trade and a composer sort of second. Now, no sooner did I wonder aloud on the air a few minutes ago about whether or not Borodin is actually known today for his contributions to the field of chemistry as much as his contributions to music, then a colleague who heard me doing this musing on the air walked into the studio and informed me something that I have never been aware of. Yes, indeed, Borodin did in fact make significant contributions in the field of chemistry. In fact, the Hunsdiker-Borodin reaction, or simply the Borodin reaction, is a chemical process where silver salts of carboxylic acids react with halogens to produce organic halides. Now, perhaps if you are a chemical scientist, maybe you are aware of this, or if not, maybe right now you're saying, oh, wow, he's the guy who discovered how carboxylic acids react with halogens to produce organic halides? That's huge. Well, nevertheless, most of us know him as a composer, and this is his Symphony No. 2 from Borodin, the Stockholm Philharmonic, conducted by Gennady Rozjedzwenski. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
What a great piece. The Symphony No. 2 by Alexander Borodin, played there by the Stockholm Philharmonic, conducted by Gennady Rozjestvensky.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from the University of Kansas, serving Kansas and the world through research, economic development, and education. Information about KU programs and initiatives is at ku.edu. And Peasley Tech in Lawrence, Kansas. The Peasley Promise offers debt-free career training for local high school students and low-income Douglas County residents. Details and donation information at peasleytech.org/peasleypromise.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 80 and cloudy. Wind is from the north. Tonight clear with a low in the low 50s. Wind will be from the northwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow clear with a high in the low 80s. Wind will be from the northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night partly cloudy with a low in the mid 50s. Wind will be from the southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. It's 80 and cloudy. That's KPR weather.
Mel Boni, the French composer. Melanie was her name, but she preferred Mel, and this is a scherzo valse with piano four hands performance here, Roberto Proceda and Alessandra Amara. Roberto Poseida and Alessandra Amara with a scherzo valse by Mel Boni. So Grace Williams, probably the most well-known female Welsh composer of the 20th century, and this is a piece of hers that celebrates a significant Welsh landmark, the Castle Caernarfon, and it's the BBC Philharmonic led by John Andrews. Castel Carnarvon by the Welsh composer Grace Williams, one of the most well-known ancient castles in all of Europe. John Andrews with the BBC Philharmonic Orchestra there.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City FM 91.3, KANQ Chanute FM 90.3, and online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 80 and cloudy. Wind is from the north. Tonight clear with a low in the low 50s. Wind will be from the northwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow clear with a high in the low 80s. Wind will be from the northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night partly cloudy with a low in the mid 50s. Wind will be from the southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. It's 80 and cloudy. That's KPR weather.
There's a palace in the city of Prague where Mozart stayed once on one of his many visits there. Today it's a 5-star hotel called The Mozart. And that tells you a lot about how the residents of that city loved the composer. They adored him for a time, even more so than the residents of his own Austrian hometown of Salzburg. He and his music were so well received there. He wrote them their own symphony. Symphony number 38 by Mozart, known as his Prague Symphony. And why not? We'll have the Prague Chamber Orchestra play for us in about 20 minutes.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. President Trump is on his way to China for a summit with President Xi Jinping. The Iran war is expected to dominate the conversation, but it's also critical for trade talks between leaders of the world's two biggest economies, as NPR's Scott Horsley explains.
The White House says the president wants reciprocity and fairness. And to be sure, lots of countries around the world are concerned that China is distorting markets by producing too much and dumping the excess elsewhere. Trump also wants China to buy a lot more stuff from the United States. You know, China has made commitments to buy more in the past and then often fallen short of those promises. U.S. farmers, in particular, have paid a price when China started buying soybeans from Brazil instead, for example.
NPR's Scott Horsley reporting. Michigan congressional Democrats Debbie Dingell and Republican John Molinar have introduced a bill to ban Chinese cars in the U.S. From member station WEMU, Kevin Mershart reports.
Called the Connected Vehicle Securities Act, the legislation would prohibit the importation, manufacture, and sale of vehicles, software, and hardware linked to China. Dingell says the timing is important with this week's upcoming China-U.S. summit.
We are not competing on a level playing field when Chinese subsidizes its manufacturers, it manipulates its currency, it uses slave labor. That's not a level playing field.
China has been accused by the U.S. government of using technology to collect and transmit sensitive information from vehicles it produces. The legislation expands on orders from the first Trump and the Biden administrations by putting the protections into law. For NPR News, I'm Kevin Mershart in Ypsilanti, Michigan.
Alabama officials are holding a special primary election for four of the state's seven congressional seats. This was announced after the Supreme Court yesterday cleared the way for a Republican-led state to use a map that had previously been blocked by the courts. NPR's Ashley Lopez reports.
After the Supreme Court weakened the Voting Rights Act 2 weeks ago, there's been a flurry of GOP redistricting efforts in the South. And now Alabama can use a map that has one more seat that favors Republicans compared to the now defunct map that the lower court ordered. This ruling, however, came a week before the state's primary. Republican Governor Kay Ivey announced the state will hold a special primary for the four seats affected by the change. This is expected to cause some confusion for voters, particularly because this change was announced when absentee mail voting was already underway. The new special primary election will be held on August 11th. Ashley Lopez, NPR News.
Meanwhile, Missouri's Supreme Court today upheld new congressional districts that could help Republicans win an extra seat, but South Carolina's Republican-led state Senate rejected a move to hold a redistricting session. Nationwide, Republicans have gained about an 8-seat advantage over Democrats in the redistricting push set off by President Trump. You're listening to NPR News from Washington. eBay has rejected an unsolicited $56 billion takeover from GameStop, calling the proposal neither credible nor attractive. GameStop saw eBay as a vehicle to compete with Amazon and that its 1,600 stores could become drop-off and shipping locations. Kuwait says it detained four men with Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps who tried to infiltrate the country. Iran says the men were performing a patrol mission when their navigation system failed, sending them into Kuwaiti waters. More from NPR's Aya Batraoui.
Kuwait's Interior Ministry says a group of six men landed on its Bubiyan Island on May 1st with a rented fishing boat to, quote, carry out a mission that included hostile acts against the state of Kuwait. It named all six and listed their rank in Iran's navy. The statement says Kuwaiti forces exchanged fire with the group and that a member of Kuwait's armed forces was wounded in the clashes. Kuwait says two of the men fled, while the other four were arrested and confessed during interrogation to belonging to Iran's Revolutionary Guard. Iran has attacked Gulf Arab states with missiles and drones throughout the U.S.-Israeli war on it. But this incident in Kuwait marks the first time a Gulf Arab state says its forces clashed with Iranian forces on its soil. Aya Batraoui, NPR News, Dubai.
Jason Collins, the NBA's first openly gay player, has died. He was a pioneer for inclusion and an ambassador for the league. He had an 8-month battle with an aggressive form of a brain tumor. Collins played 13 years in the league for six different franchises. He announced he was gay in 2013 toward the end of his playing career. Jason Collins was 47 years old. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Lodestar Foundation, inspired by the principle that helping those in need is a path to a happier, healthier, and more meaningful life. Learn more at LodestarFoundation.org. This is NPR.
Turkish affair there. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Steve Seal. It's a Tuesday night. We're going to enjoy a symphony with a good feeling all around from Mozart. Kind of mutual appreciation work in about 12 minutes here. From Ferruccio Busoni, this is a piece called Tanzwalzer, which is sort of a funny title because it basically means dance waltz, waltz dance. I don't know what a waltz is if it's not a dance, but here's Orchestre de la Suisse Romande, conducted by Kazuki Yamada. We'll be right back. Tanzwalzer, dance waltz, waltz dance, jazz blues, blues jazz. The orchestra of Suisse Romande, conducted by Kazuki Yamada, music of Ferruccio Busoni.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from Pines Garden and Market, offering locally grown vegetable starts, cool season flowers, seeds, and growing supplies. Open daily in North Lawrence. More at pinesgardenmarket.com/KPR. And the LMH Health Women's Center, offering a variety of women's health services for patients of all ages. More information is available at lmh.org.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 80 and cloudy. Wind is from the north. Tonight clear with a low in the low 50s. Wind will be from the northwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow clear with a high in the low 80s. Wind will be from the northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night partly cloudy with a low in the mid 50s. Wind will be from the southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. It's 80 and cloudy. That's KPR weather.
Mozart had a really strong connection with Prague, visiting five times between 1787 and 1791. The city adored him. The opera Don Giovanni was premiered there. There's today a five-star hotel called the Mozart Prague, located in the historic Pachtov Palace, where Mozart stayed once. He once said, "My Praguers understand me," contrasting his reception in Vienna, where they were a bit more fickle, as it turns out. And he wrote them a symphony, the Symphony No. 38, known as the Prague Symphony. And here it is with the Prague Chamber Orchestra, led by Sir Charles Mackerras. Thank you. The Symphony No. 38, the Prague Symphony by Mozart, written for the citizens of Prague who adored Wolfgang Amadeus, even more so than the citizens of his own hometown in Austria. The Prague Chamber Orchestra, conducted by Sir Charles Mackerras. Contemporary British composer Lucy Walker, her setting of the Lord's Prayer. Chapel Choir of Pembroke College, Cambridge, led by Anna Lapwood. Thank you.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. And online at kansaspublicradio.org.
I'm Maria Lopez. Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 75 and fair. Wind is from the north at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight clear with a low in the low 50s. Wind will be from the north at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow clear with a high in the low 80s. Tomorrow night partly cloudy with a low in the mid 50s. It's 75 and fair. From KPR's 24-hour weather center, I'm Maria Lopez.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. President Trump is flying to Beijing today. There he'll meet with China's top leader, Xi Jinping. NPR's Emily Fang reports one of the issues front and center will be China's relationship with the island of Taiwan.
Calling China's Xi Jinping an amazing man, Trump said the meetings with Xi later this week will cover energy prices, the war with Iran, and Taiwan, the democratic island China hopes to control one day. Asked about a delayed multi-billion dollar U.S. weapons sale to Taiwan, Trump has said he would talk about it with China's Xi Jinping.
A lot of good things can happen. Now, we'll be talking about, he'll bring up Taiwan.
American legislation requires the U.S. to provide for Taiwan's defense, and that includes selling Taiwan arms. Trump has also said he'll raise the case of imprisoned Hong Kong activist and publisher Jimmy Lai, as well as an imprisoned Christian pastor in China. Emily Fang, NPR News.
FBI Director Kash Patel has strongly denied allegations of excessive drinking on the job. Maryland Democratic Senator Chris Van Hollen confronted Patel during a Senate hearing today.
Are you willing to take the test, that it's called the audit test, that members of our active duty military and others take to determine whether they have a drinking problem?
I'll take any test you're willing to take.
I will take it, Director Patel. I'll take it. You ready to take it?
Let's go.
Yes or no?
Let's go. Side by side.
I'll take it.
Patel has sued over a recent article in The Atlantic magazine, critical of his leadership. He also accused Van Hollen of slinging margaritas during a visit to El Salvador last year. OpenAI CEO Sam Altman, the man Elon Musk says stole a charity, took the witness stand today in Oakland, California, to defend himself in a case that could reshape Silicon Valley. Rachel Miro has more from member station KQED.
Sam Altman said no single person should control AGI, artificial intelligence, or AI that surpasses human intelligence. So he told the court Elon Musk's insistence on majority control made him a poor fit for OpenAI. On cross-examination, Musk's attorney asked whether Altman had repeatedly been called a liar by people with whom he'd done business. Altman replied, quote, "I have heard people say that." This case turns on how OpenAI, which began as a public interest nonprofit, has come to be a for-profit industry leader. Closing arguments are Thursday. The judge told lawyers she's mindful an appeals court will consider not just the verdict, but how she ran the trial. For NPR News, I'm Rachel Miro.
A doctor says a French woman infected with hantavirus on a cruise ship is critically ill and being treated with an artificial lung. The World Health Organization says the outbreak has now reached 11 total reported cases worldwide, 9 of which have been confirmed. The overall tally includes 3 people from the cruise ship who died. You're listening to NPR News from Washington. Instructure, the company behind the online learning system Canvas, says it has reached a deal with hackers to delete data stolen in a cyber attack. The terms were not disclosed. The breach caused chaos for students, many in the middle of finals. The hacking group Shiny Hunters had threatened to leak data from nearly 9,000 schools and 275 million individuals. Charitable nonprofits say they face an existential crisis from federal funding cuts and other moves by the Trump administration. NPR's Jennifer Ludden reports on a new survey that warns some groups are struggling to survive.
The Center for Effective Philanthropy surveyed hundreds of nonprofit CEOs. 3/4 say they face increasing demand for services, even as many have had to cut staff and pull back. The center's Alicia Smith-Arriaga says things like meals for seniors and help for domestic violence victims have had to shut down.
The sector is really at an inflection point and in a crisis right now.
The Trump administration has said such funding cuts are part of its mission to shrink government. It's also made broad allegations of fraud and called groups that promote social justice radical and illegal. Jennifer Ludden, NPR News, Washington.
Maryland officials are considering moving the Preakness horse race from 2 to 3 weeks after the Kentucky Derby. Adding a week would try to address concerns about the short turnaround time between the races, which has led to fewer Derby winners participating in the Preakness and ultimately seeking the Triple Crown. To win that, a horse needs to win the Derby, the Preakness, and New York's Belmont Stakes. This year's Derby winner, Golden Tempo, is not participating in the Preakness. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include DuckDuckGo, who believes AI should be optional and private. That's why they created Duck.ai, where users can chat privately with AI. No tracking. Learn more at Duck.ai.
Hip, your look is rad, you're wearing shades just this side of bad, and when you smile, my poor heart flips, cause you got rhythm in your fingertips, ooh, stamping on the 2 and 4, stamping on the 2 and 4, you got a groove I can't ignore, snapping on the 2 and 4. And when I clamp on 1 and 3, I see the way you look at me. I'm out of step, but I adore the way you're snapping 2 and 4. Ooh, snapping on the 2 and 4. Oh, snapping on the 2 and 4. You got a groove I can't ignore, snapping on the 2 and 4. Yeah, tom, tom, stomp, the room comes alive. Your rhythm makes the nighttime feel so right. Every snap, I crave you more. Caught up in the spell, the 2 and 4. Love's our gig. You're still on drums, I play the keys, but soon our lineup will be 3. Ooh, snapping on the 2 and 4. Ooh, ooh, snapping on the 2 and 4. Baby playing tambourine, you and me starting up a whole new scene. Snapping on the 2 and 4.
Mark Winkler in the lead-off track to his new album, the song called Snapping on the 2 and 4. The new album's called Love Comes First. He wrote the lyrics to that. And the pianist there wrote the music, that being Greg Gordon Smith. The guitar player was Grant Geisman, with bassist Gabe Davis and drummer Kevin Winard. Mark Winkler on Jazz in the Night. We're going to have a piano playing singer-songwriter of great wit, Dave Frischberg from the Vinyl Vault, the Dave Frischberg songbook from 1983. That's later this hour on Jazz in the Night. In this next set, we'll debut a new one, trumpeter Ted Chubb's quintet, live at the Statuary in Jersey City. We'll start the set off, though, with the Great Jazz Trio. That was a name given to a lot of trio dates led by pianist Hank Jones for Japanese record labels primarily, and different combinations of bass and drums on these. Richard Davis, the bassist here, drummer Elvin Jones, Hank Jones at the piano, with the Oliver Nelson tunes 6 and 4.